Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. As always, please do sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it along to your neighbors. This helps us serve our church family and visitors alike. And please remember that photos are being taken after the service today in the fellowship hall for our new church directory. If you have not already done so, please help us by filling out the information form and putting it in the offering plate. And please help us by getting your pictures taken today. As the Lenten season is underway, everyone is welcome to attend our first Lenten supper this Wednesday, March 1st at 6 o'clock p.m., excuse me, continuing our look at the passion or suffering of Christ. The brief message after supper will explain the meaning behind the crown of thorns that was placed on Jesus' head by the Roman soldiers. And in Lenten suppers will continue each Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock through the month of March. Elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons, please do attend the February board meeting today. Right after this service, it'll be in the upper room. We are in need of a quorum so we can vote on the nomination of our new accompanist, Angela Bounds, as next Sunday is Lenora's last Sunday with us here at Barry. Also, there's a concept of a new bell tower as an Eagle Scout project for Cale Grigsby, and just several other business items as well to be voted on. So again, we need a quorum for today's meeting. Your bulletin has a flyer and envelope for the Week of Compassion offering, which provides funds for critical needs in the midst of disasters, including the war in Ukraine, the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and disasters here in the United States, such as tornadoes in the southeast. All right, may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. To God the Father, and to Christ, his Son, we offer praise and thanksgiving as we assemble in the Lord's house this Lord's Day morning. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. Thanks be to God. We'll now sing hymn number 27, stanzas 1 and 4 of Come, Thou Almighty King.
Bow for a word of prayer. O Lord, we do give thanks for the privilege to worship you in person here at Barry Christian Church. We have enjoyed hints of spring during this past week while also feeling the drop of temperatures and even freezing rain a few days ago. We give you thanks for our safe shelters from the storms that life sometimes provides. Lord God, we always seek the presence of the Holy Spirit during our times of worship, and we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray in the name of your Son and our teacher, Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's not
Let's take a few moments to greet those around us this morning. All right, please be seated. And we would like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Are we all good? Yay. I like to hear that. Well, today is our first Sunday of Lent. We talked a little bit about Lent last week, didn't we? Yeah, tiny bit. Well, when I was your age, when I was little, I had friends who actually gave things up for Lent. They'd give up chocolate, or they'd give up soda or cookies or all kinds of things. I did not understand it. I saw no reason why a smart person would give up chocolate for 6 weeks. I mean, made no sense to me. Absolutely none. But as I got a little older, and I actually started giving up things for Lent, I finally figured out why that was a good thing to do. Because every time, if I give up chocolate, every time I want a piece of chocolate, it reminds me of the sacrifices Jesus made for us. That was a revelation. That was like, whoa, there is a good reason to give up chocolate or cookies or fast food or sodas or whatever we give up. Because then every time we want some, but we remember not to have any, it reminds us of Jesus. And that's what this whole Lent season is all about, is Jesus. So it's really kind of an easy thing to do. And it's not a bad thing to give up junk that you don't need. Yeah. So, oops. So, maybe I'll keep doing it. Maybe I'll keep giving up stuff for Lent, just to help remind me of Jesus every single time. Yeah? Okay. Should we have a little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the sacrifices that Jesus made for us. Thank you for everything that he gave us and gave up for us. Help us to, every day of Lent, remember those sacrifices. Remember what this season is about and that we are leading up to his ultimate sacrifice. Please be with us today and always, and help keep us safe. Help keep us on track, following you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Some of you may have noticed that Carrie's not in her usual spot in the service today. That's because she's home with a bit of a head cold, and we thought it better that she just stay home. No COVID, though. We're grateful for that. Already been tested. We know that's all right, but keep her in your prayers, and she'll be up and running here real soon. We want to lift up Mary Otto. She is at North Kansas City Hospital. She's undergoing some rehabilitation and some wound therapy after a fall at her residence. We also keep in prayer Lita and Kimberly Perquet and Patty and Butch Miller, as all four of them are recovering from the coronavirus. Susan Hanks is in our prayers as she continues her rehabilitation at home. We lift up Vicki Jones as she continues to be in Mississippi. And Jerry and Betty Donahue continue in our prayers, Jerry, especially as you're looking toward the 15th of March at Research Hospital. Bless you, Jerry. Rihanna Ralston is continuing in our prayers. Certainly Doris McGeehee's sister and brother-in-law, Anita and Kurt Smid, they live in Wartrein, Germany, and Kurt is experiencing heart, colon, and infection difficulties, and Doris hopes to make the flight to Germany here in the near future. Jacob, we're keeping your father, Randy Squires, in our prayers in the midst of the health concerns that he is experiencing, especially as he's looking at the possibility of heart bypass surgery here in the near future. Joyce Osborne's brother-in-law, Matt Morrow, is in our prayers. Alana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha Sander, as she continues to have this concern with the pressure in her eyes. And Lana, we're grateful that your daughter, Amy Sander, is seeing good progress with the medication for the heart concerns. Linda Stevens' sister, Donna, and Olin, the father-in-law of Linda's daughter, Lisa. Good to know that prostate cancer has not spread. He has not yet had treatment that I mentioned in the prayer chain, but again, we'll just keep him in prayer as more progress is being made. And certainly a number of other people that we've been lifting up in our prayers as we've journeyed through the last several weeks. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. It is in humility, O God, that we assemble in your house to lift up praise to your holy name, for the privilege to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ to feel the comforting presence of your Holy Spirit, and to have the opportunity to lift up the names of dear loved ones and friends in need of your watchful care, we give you thanks. As the Ukraine-Russian war has now passed its first anniversary this past Friday, we lift up to you the ongoing suffering endured by so many of your children. Thousands of families mourn the loss of loved ones as 13,000 Ukrainian service personnel and 7,000 Ukrainian civilians, including more than 400 children, have been killed, along with likely more than 200,000 Russian troops. So much of one independent nation has been destroyed, even as Russia continues to fire about 20,000 artillery rounds a day. And more than 8 million Ukrainians are now refugees in neighboring Poland and Romania and in many other nations around the world. As we pray for those victimized by war, we also seek your great comfort for the tens of thousands who mourn the loss of loved ones, strive to heal from wounds and seek shelter and the means to rebuild from the devastation in Turkey and Syria. And even as egotistical world leaders threaten others with nuclear arms, we pray, O God, that through it all, we will not lose sight that you are still always ultimately our source of hope and assurance. For as you tell us in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For this everlasting assurance we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Really, really quickly, I want to introduce, their names are in the program, but we have two soloists on this song today who are former students of mine in my high school choir program, Natalia Lopez and Natalie Segura.
Surely bring you out, he never failed me yet.
Praise God. Thank you so much, choir, and Natalie and Natalia. Bless you guys, and thank you for your assistance. Lenora also. Thank you, Ryan. Rarely do the hymns that we sing have a connection near to ourselves, but such is truly the case for this morning's communion hymn, Near to the Heart of God. For the text and tune of this hymn were composed by Cleland Boyd McAfee, who lived from 1866 to 1944. He was an ordained Presbyterian pastor and began his ministry by teaching at Park College, nearby here in Parkville, Missouri, and by also serving as the campus church pastor and choir director. With a tune pattern that was popular in his time, McAfee created a simple hymn that is easy to learn through identical music at the beginning of each line, repeating several texts at the end of each line and by the repetition of the refrain. As we sing McAfee's hymn, may each of us be drawn ever closer to the heart of God, as we certainly recognize that Jesus is indeed our blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. In your hymn book, it is number 581, as we sing all three stanzas, please. Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we gather at your table this morning to celebrate Christ's death and resurrection. As we take of the bread and the cup, let us our faith be renewed, and let us know that our sins are forgiven and eternal life is assured. In this we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Whether you may be able to contribute this Sunday or some other Sunday in the future, your gifts to the Week of Compassion offering are a significant benefit, as they are our most distinctive offering that offers support for people facing acute needs caused by man-made and natural disasters, of which we have certainly seen significant concerns this past year. Your gifts are appreciated, as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Our most loving Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this day that you have blessed us with. We are blessed to be in your house with family and friends. We thank you for every good thing that you send our way, and now is a time that we can give back a portion of that. Please bless these gifts and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. As the Lenten season began this Ash Wednesday, our Lenten suppers at 6 o'clock each Wednesday in the month of March will focus on the meaning behind the images of the Passion. The Passion simply meaning the suffering of Christ. On Ash Wednesday, we looked at the senseless brutality of the Roman soldiers, even as Christ had already suffered immensely from the scourging that had been ordered by Pilate. And over the next 5 Wednesdays, we're going to explore the meaning of the crown of thorns, the spikes in the cross, the torn curtain in the temple, the wine-soaked sponge, and Christ's expression of abandonment, even as he breathed his last breath. This is a difficult journey for we people of faith to endure. We like to gloss things over. We like to be happy. You know, but in truth, we must appreciate the magnitude of suffering that Jesus endured as he paid the price for humanity's transgressions and rebellion against God. During the Lenten Sundays, which of course begins today, we're going to take a different path. In our continued study of the Bible, which I hope you've enjoyed as we've been looking at some different stories in the Erga Meyer's Children's Bible Storybook that, you know, we were promoting for our children and youth, etc. We will be looking at the meaning behind numbers that are mentioned throughout the Bible. The Hebrew faith and scriptures have always given meaning to certain numerical values. And through the month of March, we're going to be looking at what is the meaning behind the numbers 3, 7, 10, 12, 30, 40, and 50. Every one of those numbers, I'm sure you have heard repeated in the scripture time and again. But do you know what is the meaning behind those numbers? We're not here to worship numerology, nor are we to think that there is some kind of mystical meaning behind every number count in the Bible. But as we follow Hebrew religious thought, of course, which our Jesus and Lord and Savior was a part, there are indeed numerical meanings that help us see the hand of God at work throughout the centuries. And so today, you know, we begin at the beginning, don't we? You know, our granddaughter, Miss Addie, is going to be two this week. Jonathan says, Addie, count to three. Okay. One, two, two. She's going to get there. She'll get the three pretty soon. But you know, after all, she's not quite two. Scripture readings for this morning. First of all, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. Some time later, God tested Abraham. He called to him, Abraham, and Abraham answered, yes, here I am. Take your son, God said, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, and there on a mountain that I will show you, offer him as a sacrifice to me. Early the next morning, Abraham cut some wood for the sacrifice and loaded his donkey and took Isaac and his two servants with him, and they started out for the place that God had told them about. On the third day, Abraham saw the place in the distance. And then he said to the servant, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there and worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham made Isaac carry the wood for the sacrifice, and he himself carried a knife and live coals for starting the fire. As they walked along together, Isaac spoke up, Father, he answered, yes, my son. Isaac asked, I see that we have coals and the wood. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And don't you know, he was really wondering when Abraham tied him up and put him on top of those sticks on those pile of rocks. You know, that would have been frightening, wouldn't it? Abraham answered, God himself will provide one. And the two of them walked on together. Then Luke's gospel here, chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb, and so they went in. But they did not find the body of our Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled about this when suddenly two men in bright shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed down to the ground as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? Remember, he is not here. He has been raised. And he had said to you while he was in Galilee, the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men, be crucified, and 3 days later will rise to life." May we pray. Merciful and holy God, as you convey your intentions for your children, even through the meaning behind 3 days, may it be in reverent humility that we always see the working of your purposes for the benefit of your children, not only in the past, but for us today. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The number three is used a multitude of times in the Bible.
And for the Hebrew people, its emphasis is upon God's holiness and completeness. And that is also going to be the same for the number seven, which we'll talk about next week. The number appears in the Bible 467 times fewer than the number seven, but more than any of the other numbers that I just mentioned to you. The most significant use of the number three in the Bible, of course, is God's revelation to humanity in three dimensions: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Again, expressing that God is indeed holy and complete according to Hebraic thought. Emphasis is also added when something is repeated three times in the Bible. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane three times. God calls the prophet Samuel three times. Simon Peter denies Jesus three times. And Jesus redeems Peter and charges him with responsibility to the church, if you will, when he says three times to Simon Peter, "Feed my sheep," you see. And although the number three has a depth of meaning through many stories in the Bible, this does not mean that we should try to fit numerical meaning into our daily experiences as if some sort of mystical power is imposed upon us by three of a kind. This mythology has often been imposed upon us when, for example, someone will say, you know, bad things happen in threes. You've heard that, haven't you? Or when a person passes into the Lord's presence, someone will say, well, watch out. I wonder who's going to be next, because deaths always happen in. We've heard those expressions, I think, more so a couple of generations ago than we do hear that now. But I, for one, am grateful to understand that deaths don't happen in threes. I'm really grateful, because when I have one death in the fellowship of the church, I'm just grateful that it's just the one. I don't want to wait for two and three, you know. So again, such numerical assignments in our own daily lives can easily become like a worship of numerology, as if they are somehow assigning some sort of numerical value that's mystical. But that is not what God intends for us. So we need to leave all that aside. And that's not where we're going. Getting back to the Hebrew use of numbers, what we can appreciate is the fact that in the Bible, God often communicates a depth of meaning, a sense of purpose, or emphasis through the numerical value of three over the course, especially of specific times. 3 months, for example, are often definitive periods in the Bible in which specific biblical characters are either drawn closer to someone else or to God. Mary went to visit Elizabeth for how long? 3 months. Paul stayed in Ephesus and spoke boldly in the synagogue for how long? 3 months. And later, sailing to Rome, the ship is lost in a storm, and Paul remains stranded on the island of Malta. How long? 3 months. Again, just simply to emphasize the significance of a time period. God has a way of making that possible. 3 days is also a definitive time period that focuses on holiness and complete connection with God, and this is the emphasis for this morning's message. In several biblical stories, 3 days becomes a definitive spiritual time. It is a time to, first of all, separate oneself from the ordinary, and then secondly, to prayerfully focus on God's guidance, and three, to believe that at the end of that course of time, there will indeed be a unique occurrence made possible only by the great grace and love of God. Queen Esther instructed Mordecai in Esther chapter 4 to gather together all the Jews who were in Susa and fast and pray for how long? 3 days. And it was then on the third day that Esther, in a quest for justice for her people, boldly presented herself uninvited and unannounced before the king, fully realizing that in doing so, she ran the risk of being put to death. But the 3 days of prayerful preparation actually resulted in a good outcome for Esther and resolution to the concerns of the Jewish people. And by the way, you can read about that in the Erger Myers Bible Children's Storybook, pages 333 through 338. Okay, because I know some of you got the book. But then, our Old Testament story for this morning. Abraham is instructed by God to set out on a journey to offer up his only son, Isaac, as an offering to God on the very mountaintop that ultimately would become the site for Solomon's temple. In Erger Myers Children's Storybook, that's on pages 33 and 34. Hint, hint. See? The 3-day journey with his son and two servants was certainly breaking away from the ordinary. It was a time to remain steadfast in faithfulness to God's instructions instead of making a mad dash to hide from God in the nearest cave, which is, I think, what I would do. You know, if God told me to sacrifice my one and only son, he's all I got. I'm not about to do Wait a minute. There's got to be another plan, you see. But remember, in this course of time, Abraham remained steadfast to God's instructions. And in the end, Abraham is indeed experiences a favorable outcome, as God did indeed provide the alternative offering of the ram whose horns were caught in the bush. But the main story that is created here and conveyed to generations of Hebrew people is that God will not accept the sacrifice of children, which had been happening among so many of the pagan religions there in the culture. In the drama of the story, God was saying that the Hebrew people are to honor their families, honor their children, and never will there be a child sacrifice. Never, ever. Did you know that about that story? God just jazzed it up with a good bit of drama and a little bit of nail biting on Abraham's part, right? But indeed, what happened is Abraham did, in fact, become the father of many nations. Now we look at our text from Luke's gospel here. We know that on several occasions early in his ministry, Jesus connected 3 days to the narrative of his upcoming crucifixion and resurrection. When Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, Jesus teaches in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He will be put to death, but 3 days later, he will be raised to life. This is then also repeated shortly after his transfiguration. And then another significant understanding is to realize that in Jesus' day, when one had been deceased for up to 3 days, everyone would have been in agreement that the person must truly be deceased. For although it was not a common occurrence, there were those occasions in which a person was actually considered dead, wrapped up and placed in a tomb, only to be discovered later that they emerged from a comatose state and were actually alive. Boy, you wouldn't want to have been in that position, would you have been? That was something to be said for the fact that they kept visiting folks in the tomb, which they did over the course of several days, by the way. You see, in Jesus' case, being dead all of Friday night and fully into Sunday morning, it could only be argued with certainty that Jesus was indeed truly deceased before he arose on the third day. God chose the resurrection of his son on the third day not only to assure the skeptics that Jesus had indeed passed from death to new life, but to also reaffirm the holiness and the completeness of God's plan that came about in what? 3 days. And although it was a difficult time to endure, 3 days became a time for Jesus' disciples and other followers to separate themselves from the ordinary events as they waited through the Friday night, through the Passover, all the way to the dawn of Sunday. 3 days had been a time for them to ponder the many times Jesus had already told them what to expect, that on the third day he would rise to life. And in the 3 days, there is a pause, a time of communion with God, and finally the arrival of a holy and complete event, which of course was what? His resurrection. On the third day, they were indeed blessed with something extraordinary. Not only the living presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the establishment of the hope for all believers to come, that we too will one day rise from death to life because of God's great grace. So what does the biblical meaning of 3 days have to convey to you and me today? There are those times when we need to separate ourselves from the busyness of the ordinary. We need to draw ourselves in a prayerful focus on God's will and purposes. And in so doing, it is truly possible that we too, like Esther, like Abraham, and like the followers of Jesus, will be truly blessed by God's spiritual intervention into our lives. Maybe there is that life-changing decision that you're contemplating. It's time to pause, to be in prayer to God, and to give God the opportunity to inspire you to make the right decision. Maybe you are concerned about making a large purchase. Pause for a time. Go to God in prayer and give God the opportunity to inspire you to make the right decision. Maybe you are wondering about your relationship with a certain person or a group of people. Pause. Be in prayer. Give God time to give you an expected answer. Whatever the concern may be, the 3-day pause might just be the way that you discover God's will. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know will transform your life. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. And we want to celebrate the fact that Steve and Danny Harrison came forward at the early service this morning and transferred their membership from the Hillside Christian Church. It certainly was a joy to welcome them. We've now had 12 new people in the fellowship of our church join our congregation since the first of this year. We praise God for that. Let us turn to our hymn of invitation, number 552, Standing on the Promises, stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder, we do have the February board meeting immediately after the service here up in the upper room classroom. Elders, deacons, committee chair folks, we certainly need your presence. We have a number of things we need to vote upon. Chief among them is to vote for Angie Bounds to be our new accompanist for our worship and fellowship, as this will be Lenora's last Sunday, next Sunday, the 5th of March. Lenora, bless you. And we're so grateful for everything you've done for us over the last 5 years. And also a reminder that we've got pictures downstairs in the basement. There was quite a line right after the first service, so there might be a line afterward, but let's get our pictures taken because we want to get that new directory all squared away so we can kind of figure out who everybody is, because we've had a lot of changes since the last directory in, when was that, 2019, I believe, right? So please help us with the photographs. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, empowers us, and for this truth we give thanks as we journey forward in the new week. It's in Christ's name that we seek your guidance day by day.